Good morning from Independence Baptist Church. We're so glad you're able to join us this morning for another message from God's Holy Word. Now today, Pastor Reynolds will be sharing with you a message titled, Paul on Mars Hill. However, before Pastor Reynolds gets started, we do want to take just a minute to remind you of the resources that are available on our website. The website address is www.independencebaptist.org. And from the website, you can read articles and books that have been written by Pastor Reynolds, as well as listen to many of the sermons that have been preached at Independence Baptist Church. Now, also on the website, you'll find the times of our services, as well as a link to an internet map service for directions to the building. We are located at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri, and you are very welcome to attend any of our services. Now, also, I'd mention on that website, many of the books that Pastor Reynolds has written and others can be read, but also you can download those, and as well as any of the audio messages are there available for free as well. Well, it is time to get started with today's message, so here's Pastor Reynolds talking about Paul on Mars Hill.
We are living in a time when many people have many religions. But the time in which we're living is no different than any other time, because people have always had many religions, and yet there's many people that in all of the religions that they have never found Jesus Christ precious to their own soul. Go back with me to the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 22 through verse 34. The Apostle Paul comes to Mars Hill. And here he stands at Mars Hill, and he says, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. As Paul looked at all of these folks on Mars Hill, and he saw all of these statues that they had made with their own hands. They made them out of wood, made them out of stone, out of precious minerals and materials. They'd put a lot of time and effort into devising the statue, the stone structure, just exactly the way that they wanted it. And yet as Paul looked at all of that, Paul realized that all the religion that these folks had would not be enough to get them into heaven. They had a lot of thought that they had put into all of their religions, but all of those things would never be enough. Notice here, it is possible to worship the wrong God. It is possible to have the wrong religion. These people on Mars Hill were religious. They were trusting in the things that they were doing. They were doing all they knew to do to reach God, but they would never reach Jesus Christ. And Paul declared unto them the unknown God. It is not that God could not be known, but it is that God was unknown to them. And on the one altar was an inscription, To the unknown God, I suppose, just in case these Athenians had missed a God. Paul states here in verse 23 that the people were ignorantly worshiping. It simply means they were worshiping something they did not know. They realized and understood that as they looked at all the religious things that they had, that it was never enough. Let me ask you, when you look at all the religious stuff that you have, is it enough to satisfy your soul? Is it enough? There are those people today that are trusting in their joining a church to get them to heaven. Do you really believe that's enough? There are others that are trusting their being baptized to get them into heaven. They're trusting their obedience. Let me ask you, is that really enough? There are others that are trusting in their good works, in just being good. There's others that are trusting in forgiving people. Let me ask you, Is that really enough? Here are these Athenians on Mars Hill. They worshipped a lot of things. They trusted, they depended upon a lot of things. But all those things they were depending upon were in error. Paul declares unto them that there is a God that is greater than all of these things that you could ever even think about. This God, who is above every God, can easily be found. Notice in verse 24 through verse 26, these people did not understand nor realize that the God that was the unknown God to them was the Creator God. Let me ask you, is what you're trusting in what has created you? Or have you created what you're trusting in? You see, here on Mars Hill, these people were trusting in those things they had made. But you need to trust in something outside yourself. It is God that has made us, therefore, we can trust God to save us, because He has power outside ourselves. But if you just trust in the things that you've made, it's just like you're trusting in you, or in your own imaginations. In verse 27, Paul states this, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. What a blessed thought this is. The God who is the Creator God, who is above all gods, can easily be found by all who feel after Him, because He is not very far away from every one of us. God is Spirit, and God is truth, and God is everywhere. It is not that you've got to go make something to worship. It is not that you've got to devise something with your own mind, because God is already complete, and He is one that can take care of us. Notice in verse 28, Paul states this, "For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring." The fact is, it is God who has given us physical life, and it is only God who can give us spiritual life. It is impossible for any individual to save themselves by any act that they do. There must be a performance by God Himself. We move, we live, we have our being by God. We are alive because God has given us the breath of life, and we are saved by the power of God working in us and not by any kind of work we do. In verse 29, we should not think of God as some kind of physical or material substance. As these Athenians, they looked at all the statues and idols and all of those religious relics and things that they had devised of their own imaginations, and those are the things that they worshipped. In verse 29 of Acts 17, Paul says, "For as much then as ye are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's devise." We should not think that God is like anything that we can devise, whether it's costly gold or precious silver or diamonds or jewels or whatever. God is a spirit. God is on a plane much higher than any man has ever imagined. In verse 30, Paul states this to these Athenians who are religious people, worshiping the wrong gods, trusting the wrong things. He says in verse 30, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." God has previously forgiven men because they were ignorant of who He is, but because of the inward witness that every man has in himself that there is a God that is a creatorial God and a God that is much, much greater than we are. Every man upon hearing the message of the gospel that there is a God, there is help, there is hope, there is a Savior. Not that we've devised the Savior from our own imaginations, but there is God who is above all, through all, and in all believers. Now this God commands, not suggest, but God commands every man everywhere to repent. This is what the Scripture states there in verse 30. And in verse 31, he says this, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained. Now, there is coming a judgment day. There's coming a day when every man is going to stand before this omnipotent, supreme, most holy God, who is not only our Creator, He is our Savior, He is the King, He is the Lord. Listen. All of the things that you devise for your own salvation will never judge you. You can build an idol, but that idol will never judge you because the idol does not have a brain. It does not have eyes. It does not have ears. It has no appetite. The idol can do nothing. That idol will never judge you. All the plans that you devise to save your soul will never judge you. We are judged by a man, and that man is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. This is our hope. Our hope for eternal salvation, our hope for eternal life is not that we could devise some kind of religion out of our own imaginations and follow the precepts that we have established to follow. No. Instead, we understand that God has ordained a man for our salvation. That man is Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of a virgin, and crucified in our place that we might have everlasting life. Not only Jesus was crucified, He was buried. And in verse 31, the Bible states that God hath given assurance unto all men in that He raised Him from the dead. Jesus Christ has life. Not just physical life, but He has spiritual life. Now, in closing, there's three things you're going to do with this message. Number one, you're going to mock it. In verse 32, there was some that mocked. It could also be that some would say, I would like to hear some more about this. And if that's your case, we invite you to come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church and listen to the truth. It may be that someone has heard this message this morning and been saved, because Jesus is the only hope. He's the only way. He's the only thing that we have for eternal life. I pray that you will be among those that hear to the believing and salvation of the soul.
You know, as Pastor Reynolds mentioned, everyone is going to react to this message in some way. You know, and if you actually have further questions or even comments about this morning's message, please feel free to call us at 636-673-2180. If you'll leave us your name, phone number, and a brief message, we will call you back. And even better, if you'd like to visit with us in person, you're also welcome to come and join us for worship services today. Our morning services will begin at 10 a.m. with Sunday school, and worship services at 11 a.m. We'll also have Sunday afternoon services, which start at 4 p.m. with a prayer meeting, and 4:30 for worship services. And of course, during the week, we'll also be having a Bible study, which will be held on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Well, our time is up for today, so we want to go ahead and thank you for listening this morning, and again remind you to tune in next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.